If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, if you didn't know, we had Gather Round putting Adelaide on the map. Peter Malinauskas was everywhere. The Guild Farewell Tour rolled on. A late charge for the AFL CEO role. We had wine references. How good is the Barossa? Upsets at Adelaide Oval, torrential rain, and Nick Dacos' Brownlow credentials did no harm. Welcome to the Footy Podcast. I'm your host, Will Hogan. Today on the show, we will talk trade with Jay Clark, with a few free agents increasing their value, the AFL CEO search with Scott Gullen, journo blow-ups, and more. But first, we chat to Lauren Wood about all things Gather Round. Can it work anywhere else? Let's do it. So, Lauren, thanks for joining us again. Very good last week with Eliza.
Thank you. It was good. We missed you, though.
No, I was
it's
listening.
Great to have you back.
I was listening in the pool in Port Douglas and just thought I shouldn't be on the podcast next week because you guys were just incredible. So, anyway, Eliza's off this week, so I am back in the chair by default. So, anyway.
Oh, don't sell yourself short.
So Gather Round, it's been everywhere. We've seen, Peter Malinauskas, Gil, just there's been a lot of love, a lot of everything. What did you make of it from home?
Oh, well, that's right. I was gathered round my television, as it were, with some massive FOMO of the entire weekend, really. And as you mentioned, everywhere I looked and everywhere I listened, there was Peter Malinauskas. Like, never mind Eddie everywhere. This was just absolutely the Peter show, wasn't it? And Pete. Good on him too. I mean, he's new to the role, did an incredible job getting this off the ground on what was, by major event standards, pretty short turnaround.
Yeah.
They had a few months lead in and that sort of thing. And I don't know. I mean, I know it's a concept that was effectively nicked from the NRL, their magic round, yeah. But this was magic. Like, it seemed like everywhere you looked in Adelaide, there was something going on. I mean, the weather probably did no favours, particularly on Saturday night with that rain. But I think it was just the perfect scenario, really. We had school holidays. I had a lot of mates that went over, even, with young kids. They could drive, stayed in caravan parks.
So they enjoyed it?
Absolutely loved it, yeah. I mean, one of us on this podcast, one of the two of us, went to Gather Round.
Yeah, I did.
That was not me. So you've obviously got, I guess, a first-hand experience. But as I say, watching it from, I was going to say arm's length, but it's more sort of the TV length from home, it just made me want to be there. You know, the grounds like Norwood, Mount Barker,
cool.
It really just had it all, didn't it? So I think the fact that it's been locked in to South Australia for the next few years, I know there's a few, particularly over in the West, that have got their noses out of joint about that. But, I mean, it was just the perfect showing for South Australia, and I think it's the perfect event for them to have.
Yeah, and I think the South Australian government did strike the iron while it was hot. They knew that this deal, other states were going to come after it, and I think Malinauskas clearly went, well, we'll invest, but you have to give us a bit of longevity, so don't sell it elsewhere.
Yeah.
If you want us to play at these grounds, we need to put money into it, and for that, it has to be multiple years.
Well, and I think that's probably the beauty of it. I mean, there's some people sitting back and saying it should be rotated every year. I personally couldn't disagree with that more.
Yeah.
Like, it's a concept that it's not going to work everywhere. We know, like, South Australians, they love, I mean, we've got footy lovers in every state, of course, but they've got the options of grounds. People from Victoria and Perth, it's effectively in the middle. People can drive. And I think, too, the fact that it takes so much investment, they're going to upgrade these grounds. We saw things like, goal line technology, video technology, obviously in use being an AFL round. This technology might be installed at those grounds permanently now. There's going to be further investment in infrastructure around the grounds. Those grounds that then host AFLW games, they host Sandful games, the flow-on effects that sort of the trickle-down, I suppose you could say, for footy in South Australia, by investing in it long-term, it's actually worthwhile then making those upgrades at the grounds. Whereas you could sort of think, oh, well, if we've only got this for 1 year, all right, well, maybe we'll only install temporary seating or temporary lighting or temporary, you know, whatever it is. Whereas now they can go, righto, we've got this for the next 3 years at least. Let's actually make a real go of it. And then the benefit is not only just for that one weekend, it's footy sort of year round, effectively, by the time we've got, you know, the women's game and all the rest of it that goes along with it in South Australia. I mean, the economic benefits are clear. You talk to anyone who was in Adelaide over the weekend, the cafes were pumping.
The pubs.
Pubs, bakeries.
Rundle Street Mall, Peel Street.
The mall, the balls in the mall have never had more selfies than they had on the weekend. So, I mean, the flow on effect, I think business particularly there, and of course even on the drive across, you know, all those towns sort of along the way,
country
I think
towns.
They would have welcomed the news as well with open arms.
Yeah, I think so. I think the AFL probably started Gather Round in a hope that they could, you know, go to Sydney or go to Queensland and grow the game there. And then I think clearly the money came, and now I see it wasn't a look for new fans. It turned out being a reward round for
Absolutely.
Adelaide. A state that loves the footy, they're not going to get any new fans, but maybe it isn't all about new audience. Maybe it is just about rewarding fans that have loved this game for 150 years.
That's a great way to
put
it, actually, because even you look at, like, they obviously had a big dip at, you know, snagging some of those COVID years as well, and still had the crowd restrictions in place, so they were sort of held back a little bit in that regard. But it's really seemed like, I know, and I feel like we keep saying it, particularly in Melbourne where we've had major events, but the sort of coming out party after COVID, like
absolutely.
It just, as I said, the number of times where I just about had to turn the TV off because I just felt so left out and so devastated that I didn't bite the bullet and make the call to get over there. I'm really flat.
So it's fair to say you'll be locking yourself in next year?
Oh, mate, I'm ready. I'm ready to book
you'll
right now.
I'm just bus, about any... to,
just about ready to start the car at this moment because I just, as I say, like it really just seemed like, and everyone that I've spoken to that was there, the vibe, everyone was happy. Everyone was, you know, not pushing in front of each other for chips and all the rest of it. Just to stand on the hill at Adelaide Oval, I mean, Gillon McLachlan must have had that moment, I'd imagine, where he looked around and thought, geez, we've actually pulled this off and isn't it fantastic?
Now, just quickly, so Adelaide has it for 3 years and then other states are going to come, but Adelaide won't want to lose this. What do you think happens in 2 years' time when it potentially is up for grabs? Do you see it going elsewhere? Can it work anywhere else? Or do you think Adelaide will hold on for this for dear life?
Well, I wouldn't oppose Adelaide holding on to it because I think Melbourne gets a great run with major events. Sydney gets a go with major events. You know, Queensland's got the Olympics coming up as well.
The Gabba will be out of action.
Gabba's out of action for a few years with that, with the upgrades. Perth, I mean, Perth's going to have a big dip at it from what we hear.
Yeah.
Clearly they were upset about not getting a crack at it this time. But I think it's just too far away. I'm sorry, WA listeners.
Yep.
I'm sorry, you're just too far away.
Those in the Nullarbor, we don't offend.
I'll drive. I don't know if I'll drive that far. I love a road trip. But that's where I think Adelaide is the perfect place. And that's where it's going to get really interesting in the years to come. And who knows, Gil might still be in the job by then, the way he's going.
My goodness.
But it's going to take some wrenching, I reckon, away from it. It's going to take a pretty strong business case, you would imagine, to get this out of Adelaide. As I say, they've got the grounds that, you know, the ground in the Barossa is going to come into the equation. Obviously, they've got the backing of the tourism sort of side of things. But, I mean, if it keeps going like it did on the weekend, why wouldn't every other state be sort of queuing up to get it, particularly in the school holidays? It's sort of made for it, isn't it?
No, I agree. And I think if Pistol Pete is still in the chair, I think it'll be hard to wrench it out of his hands. Lauren, thank you as always. Have a good weekend.
Fantastic. Sad we don't have Peter here today. He's been everywhere else. Where are you, Pete?
We couldn't get him on.
I'm Andrew Rule. I try to shine a light in dark places and tell honest stories about dishonest people. If you like sunny stories about shady folks, join me for my podcast, Life and Crimes. It's available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your fix.
Well, now it's time to talk trade with Jay Clark. Jay, thanks for joining us.
Wilbur, thanks for having me.
Now, it's been it's another big week. You had Gather Round people all in there, all the agents, all the clubs all together.
Yep.
on Saturday, we did see some two pretty good free agents rolling around in Darcy Parrish and Mason Redmond.
Yep.
Tell me about them and where their status is right now.
Yeah, they've been excellent, haven't they? And you can understand why Essendon at this stage, they'd probably just be sitting back waiting to see what offers come for these players. And if other rival offers come, well, then you just sort of beat it, if you know what I mean. There's no point saying, oh, offering him 900 than for there only to be a rival offer of 600, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So they're both playing great footy. I mean, Mason Redmond and Darcy Parrish, I think Parrish on 19 coaches' votes, Redmond on 17 coaches' votes. You know, they're genuine All-Australian contenders at the moment. The Bombers been outstanding. Jay Gresham is a little bit different at St Kilda. So these guys are all restricted free agents,
yep,
which means after 8 years they can leave if the clubs don't match a bit. Gets a bit complicated from that point. But Gresham probably hasn't had the starts of the season as the other two. So Gresham, zero coaches votes, playing more as a forward. Mm. Under Brett Ratton, he was a mid forward, but largely a midfielder.
Burst player.
Yeah, who kicked goals. This year under Ross Lyon, you know, we've really seen sort of, you know, Steele and Hunter Clark and Crouch and Ross.
Yep.
And then with a bit of Windhager, Bytel, Philippou.
Yeah.
Owens in the middle. So it's not like he has been forced out, but he's definitely playing more as a genuine forward. And five goals, five games, as I said, zero coaches votes.
Mm.
He's an interesting one. For all the extraordinary elevation at St Kilda, he's probably one who hasn't enjoyed the same sort of rise. And so there's no doubt that will attract clubs in one sense, because he'd be waiting for an offer from St Kilda at one point. And I don't know, does he want to, where do we see him? Does he want to be more a midfielder or more as a forward? Because we've seen rival clubs tempt players out with those sort of midfield opportunities, which is interesting. Zach Williams went for Carlton to play midfield but ended up going down back. So I think Gresham's just a really interesting one. He's one to watch. Parrish and Redmond playing great footy. Just lastly on this, I just wonder, yeah, as they're restricted free agents, if St Kilda and Essendon finish high up on the ladder,
yep,
right, and they get first round combo, they're looking like likely, right? Well, then they would only be satisfied. Well, they'd only get picks in the teens, if you know what I mean. So, like GWS with Jeremy Cameron a few years ago, where they've matched, is this a situation where Essendon and St Kilda look to match a restricted free agency big and then force a better trade return? Because if you're Essendon and just say you lose Parrish, we'd want to pick in the top 10, right?
Absolutely.
And St Kilda may be the same on Gresham. Rather than getting pick 15 if they're finishing top 4, do you want something a bit higher? So that gets quite complex. But I reckon the free agency bid match will be back in vogue in 2023.
That's really good. So what you're saying, though, with those three players, it's going to go down to the season as we progress.
I think so, because unless I mean, if you were just Essendon, and all free agents, sort of, I think all clubs play it out this way, they just sort of wait to see what offers come, and then you've only really got to beat it, if you know what I mean. So it would be interesting. I just don't, if I'm Essendon, I don't think I'd be falling over myself, because you don't need to pay them 200 or 300 more than the best offer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're playing great footy, and Essendon be wrapped, but I reckon Gresham's one to watch.
Just quickly on that, both of those clubs, though, have the cap space to keep them if they want.
Yeah, Essendon have got an absolute truckload. I mean, they've got like $2 million up their sleeve,
wow,
for Bombers. St Kilda is tighter because they're, as we've said, in cap space, they're a bit out of whack because they've paid a fair bit for a lot of their sort of mid-tier types. So they could make it work, but it just means that other bits and pieces probably have to fall out or move around.
Yeah. So certainly three players to watch, as
yep,
is Ben King.
Yes.
Maybe not this year or this year, Jay.
Yep.
Where is he at?
Yeah, he's had another one who's had a slow start to the season. We know pick 6, he's a really talented player, hasn't really fired to start 2023. He's out of contract next year, and I think, as we said in cap space last year, I mean, Collingwood would just be licking their chops. They've got Nick Dacos, he's Batman. Or is he Robin and Ben King would be Batman? They would be the best Batman and Robin double act in the competition of their age, if you know what I mean. So Collingwood, it's probably the one sort of missing link in a sense, that young prime key forward they probably don't have in their list. Will Kelly is developing. Is he more of a defender? So Ben King, I mean, he'd be sitting back at the moment. I don't know what you think, Will, but like, how many years does he give Gold Coast?
It's a good question. Lynch, we know he took the free agency,
yep,
even past it, I think. He
gave 8 years.
Yeah, so I think with King,
Jeez, five.
It really depends on and how they go this year, I think. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll get to next year, which will be 6 years. He's out of contract. You put off talks and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, does Gold Coast have a new coach then for 2024?
That's the question.
It's a possibility. It's just a club who is really meandering. And under Stuart Dew, you know, they've lifted. They've gone from 3 wins to 5 wins to 7 wins, I think 10 wins last year. So that build has been there. But if it doesn't happen this year, or they go backwards this year, then it's really going to test the patience of the footy club.
So just on King, I did read a little bit of commentary just around your story last week. You know, people going, this is just creating nonsense. Well, why would Collingwood be interested in King now? He's out of contract at the end of next year. But tell for people that don't actually know.
Yeah.
Did they, even though King still got nearly 2 years left on his contract, a year and a half, these conversations, when do they start from club land, manager land, player land? When does it start?
The example with Tom Lynch going to Richmond, like Richmond were all over him 2 years out.
Yeah.
You know, it's really strategic. It's really methodical. Every list manager tracks every basically player in the competition.
Yeah.
You know, they know exactly when the contract out is where they're at. And, you know, Robbie D'Orazio, Tom Lynch's manager, sat next to Brennan Gale at the 2017
Richmond,
which they won.
Crows.
Yes. So he sat next to him then, and then 2018 they lost the prelim to Collingwood, and then he came after that. So if you got Robbie D'Orazio sitting next to Benny Gale, they're talking about, hey, imagine Tom Lynch out of the goal square, 100,000 here. We're coming into a phase. So, yes, it's very strategic and it's long-range planning is all out. And then if you're Robbie D'Orazio, you're saying Nick Dacos, you know, he's got to think about your other clients too and where they're at. So, anyway, they're all over everything. Nothing like this stuff happens by chance.
And it's interesting because Tom Lynch's manager is Robbie D'Orazio and Ben King is under the same stable as well. Yep. There you go. Yep. Well, Ben watch well. Who he's going to sit next to the grand final this year, I think. The other one, just lastly, Jay's Harry Himmelberg.
Yep.
We know he took the incredible mark, the touch, saved the game, won the game.
Yep.
He's a free agent as well.
Yep. And price is rising.
Price is rising?
Clearly. Again, you know, okay start to the season, but he made every club stand up and take notice at the weekend with his efforts. I mean, he basically won the game. Toby Green was outstanding as well at the death there. So he's not in a rush to make a decision on his future, and that's a worry for GWS. They would love to have him signed up and locked away. They need him. They've lost so many players. So it really feels like if he's going to stay, GWS is going to have to pay through the nose again because there's – so many clubs interested. St Kilda need key position. You know, Essendon would be having a look. Port Adelaide need a key defender if they're not getting Ben Mackay. So interest to be high. He's a Riverina product. He's at GWS. And we know there's been lots of boomerangs who have come home.
In him being a free agent, does that increase his value? Because there's going to be multiple buyers and clubs probably aren't going to lose anything. So they can just throw cash.
Yeah, exactly. And as a free agent, you don't have to give up anything to get them unless they match as we touched on before. So what you do is you pay a little bit more so that you don't have to give up anything for these good players, because Ben King, if he leaves next year, Collingwood's going to have to give up 2 first-round picks for him.
Yeah.
So as a free agent, you get to 8 years. They come for nothing. That's why you pay them all.
So it sounds like good news for Harry Himmelberg.
He's smiling like a Cheshire cat, I reckon.
Jay,
yes,
as always,
yep.
Thank you. See you next time.
See you next time.
So we're joined by our Media Street columnist today, Scott Gullen. Scott, how are you going?
I'm Andrew Rule. I try to shine a light in dark places and tell honest stories about dishonest people. If you like sunny stories about shady folks, join me for my podcast, Life and Crimes. It's available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your fix.
Hello, William. Wonderful to be with you again.
Now, you're MIA in the office, but you're on the road. You're obviously hunting some big stories. You must be, whether you're outside Tom Brown's house or Mark McGowan's house or someone's house, are you?
Well, Tom Brown, we love him. He does find himself the centre of attention sometimes. So I am loitering with intent around Tom.
Now, we will start there because that was easily one of the most read stories of the week. An incredible insight into what we all love in the industry, a journalist blow-up. Now, Scott, take us behind the curtains. What happened with this incredible piece of journalism?
Well, it was a Good Friday match, Carlton v North, in the rooms afterwards. And the previous evening, as we know, Brisbane and Collingwood had played on Channel 7, which is Tom's network, and BT, as he does, and we all know he does, he tries to keep things interesting even if the game is petering out. And he was pumping up his Magpies because, as Tom pointed out to Mark McGowan, that you know they'd come back against Melbourne a couple of weeks earlier. Anyway, Mark McGowan, he likes me on Twitter, and he was sort of winding, you know, BT up, suggesting, come on, stop treating us as fools kind of vibe. And Tom didn't like it, so Tom approached Mark and then just started giving him a crack, saying, you're an idiot, you're a fool, what are you tweeting that about, you don't understand anything. And so it just started as a casual couple of remarks, and it soon gained momentum.
And this was in the rooms.
This is in the rooms at Carlton and North Melbourne, and there was some shocked bystanders that were like, hang
which
on.
Which
we
love.
It started to get, yes. And it started to get a bit heated, and Mark, people who know Mark, he used to work with us, he doesn't take a backward step, so he started to fire up, and the bystanders were a bit concerned there for a second. Thought, oh, this might get physical, but it didn't, thankfully, and they both departed, but... It was a good old sledging match, which we love, a stoush.
It was. It was a big stoush. Now, where do you stand on in the terms of the stoush? Obviously, Tom can be quite critical of other players and he has strong opinions himself. Was it okay for him to have a go at someone else for having an opinion, or where did you stand on that?
Oh, look, Tom's defending his network. I've got no issues with that. Whether he needed to do it in that nature, you could question that, but... Oh, I think Tom, you know, as you said, he fires bullets. He's got to be able to cop a few, and Mark more than sent a couple his way. So I think they were both, no one was in the wrong, really. Tom defending his network, bit over the top. Mark tweeting his displeasure, which he's allowed to do. And, yeah, maybe we'll wait till if there's a rematch. Stay tuned.
That's it. And in the words of Anthony Hudson, could the sequel be better than the original? I hope so. And I'll be keeping my eyes on all press conferences from now and the seating positions of both of those journalists. This is one to watch.
It's very, yeah, I will be all over this.
Now, Scott,
fill you in as the coming weeks. Yes.
Now, another hot topic of the week, and you wrote a very, very good column in Saturday's Herald Sun, was the issue of the next AFL CEO. Now, Kylie Watson-Wheeler has come from the clouds. Clearly, she didn't want her name to be public, but the Herald Sun, John Ralph, did break that story. Tell us about Kylie Watson-Wheeler and the feeling, and how close is she to becoming the next AFL CEO?
Yeah, it was a great get by Ralphie that she changed her plans and arrived at the winery on Wednesday night for the big posh do for the AFL in South Australia because, yeah, she runs Disney. Her CV is very impressive. She ran Hallmark, the card company in the US. So her business savvy is top notch. She's Rob's president for a couple of years. And so what I looked at was the whole female CEO. I mean, you look around the world, every big major league is run by a man, you know, NRL, Cricket Australia, NFL, you know, NBA, etc. So I just spoke to a lot of people in our industry because we've been slow to embrace female leadership and thankfully we're getting better. You know, North Melbourne's got a CEO now. We've got three club presidents who are women. So we're slowly getting there. But I was impressed with, you know, the general feel was it doesn't matter gender if they know what they're doing. And clearly, in a business sense, Kylie Watson-Wheeler has got a great CV. She's got the football background being a president. And apparently she's got the vote of Richard Goyder, the chairman. So there's some pretty big ticks. Now, again, the commission's divided. Gillen's lingering. They still can't give us a straight answer. They keep saying after the budget in May, when hopefully we get money to build the stadium Tasmania, then Gill might go off into the sunset. But they have to make a call before then. And a lot of people said, if it's Andrew Dillon, well, this has been a horrible way to treat him because he's been 2 metres from their face for 12 months and they're trying to find ways not to appoint him. So if it ends up being Andrew Dillon, that is a bit of a sham, but Kylie Watson-Wheeler is right in. It's her or him, I think. But as I said, when Gill goes, no one knows.
Yeah, it's definitely one to watch. Now, Media Street, 12 p.m. Wednesday. We do love when you give a little bit of a tease. Now, what's on for this week, Scott?
Well, I'm just sniffing around still. Cody Waitman caused a few shock waves.
Oh yeah, didn't he ever?
So we might, there was a bit of Channel 7 had to be careful with that one. So those who don't know, we might tune in maybe midday tomorrow. A bit of Cody Waitman might be online at heraldsun.com.au.
Okay, well, definitely we'll all be there. And as always, Scott, thank you. And we'll have you hopefully in the office next week.
Oh, if I'm not on the hustings, I'll be there, William, with you.
No worries. Say hi to Tom Brown when you get out of the car.
Thank you.
That's all for today's show. I'm your host, Will Hogan, and thanks to our guests, Lauren Wood, Jay Clark, and Scott Gullen. As always, stay tuned to heraldsun.com.au for Media Street Wednesday noon, our comprehensive match coverage throughout the weekend, before our must-read opinion in the Sunday and Monday tackles. Cheers.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.